You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Chuck Pagano is officially out as the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator, making him this year's scapegoat for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can also like Locked On Bears on Facebook or join the Locked On Bears Facebook group. On the show today, we're looking at the ramifications of the Bears defensive coordinator change, officially a retirement by Chuck Pagano. We'll look back at his 2 years on the job, why he may have decided to retire and leave the team, and which potential replacements should be near the top of the list. I want to let you in on a little secret here. We went through most of Tuesday with very limited updates on what was going to happen with Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, and this Bears coaching staff. So I recorded a full episode of the Locked On Bears podcast, and I am now recording a second episode of Locked On Bears because that Chuck Pagano news came out after I was done with the previous recording, more so previously focused on still no updates and here's kind of where things stand and what we can expect out of the next few days. Now we've got some answers, maybe not all the answers, but some answers. The main thing most concretely reported is that defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano is indeed retiring from the NFL, from coaching the Chicago Bears, leaving a large vacancy at the top of this defensive coaching staff, one that was the subject of a lot of criticism this year, ultimately finishing 14th in points allowed and 11th in yards allowed, just barely a top 10 rushing defense in terms of yards per carry and very middle of the pack in terms of passing defense, a disappointment from where they were 2 years ago. And even last year, they finished in the top 5 in points and top 10 in yards allowed, but clearly a drop off this year and one that I think brought some valid criticism of Chuck Pagano. But I can't help but feel like he also ends up as a bit of a scapegoat here. And of course, it being reported as a retirement sure makes it seem like this was Chuck Pagano's decision, but that doesn't mean perhaps he wasn't also facing a potential firing. I would guess that decision had not been completely made yet by Matt Nagy, in part because Matt Nagy didn't even know whether or not he would be brought back. But the reporting that has not been officially confirmed by the team yet is that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are expected to return at least for 2021. And it makes sense why someone like Chuck Pagano in his position may have legitimately wanted to retire and had been even planning on retiring. You know, 2 years ago, before he took this Bears job, he had taken a year off from coaching after being fired as the Indianapolis Colts head coach, kind of got a taste of the world outside of coaching and seemed to have an itch and a desire to come back to it. But he's a guy who is a cancer survivor. He has, I believe, 3 daughters, and it's been, I would say, 2 very stressful years for him in Chicago with back-to-back collapses late in the season and, of course, a lot of defensive injuries last year. Maybe do I have to start saying 2 years ago to talk about 2019 if I say last year, since now 2020 was last year? So I guess 2 years ago, his first year, a lot of injuries defensively. This year, dealing with COVID and some other changes and depth issues and just general lack of production across the board from this Bears defense. So I can see where retirement is particularly enticing for him in that spot. Also seeing the writing on the wall with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy clearly not on very long leashes left in Chicago. So it may just be easier for him to say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to retire. I'm going to enjoy my time with my family and perhaps I was going to get fired anyway, and this is a much more graceful way to leave the organization. And he does leave the organization with some quality potential replacement candidates already on the staff. You have to imagine the team will do a more comprehensive search rather than just immediately and directly promoting someone. And on tomorrow's podcast, we're going to go a bit more in-depth on all of the candidates, not only the in-house ones, but perhaps some outside candidates who would be good choices to come in and take over this Bears defense, try and get it a little bit more back on track. But certainly the guy who's right now at the top of my list is the defensive line coach, Jay Rogers, someone who I have raved about a ton on this podcast for the work that he has done in developing and identifying defensive line talent off of the street that comes to Chicago and has some of their best seasons. And after we saw one of Vic Fangio's assistants, Brandon Staley, go on to coach the Rams defense and now getting head coaching interviews, Jay Rogers, also one of these Vic Fangio disciples that was a holdover when Chuck Pagano came in. I think you also have to include outside linebackers coach Ted Monachino in this discussion because, in part, he was the Colts defensive coordinator for 2 years under Pagano, and I believe he had coached with Pagano in Baltimore as well before that, so he would be perhaps the most natural bridge if the Bears just wanted to continue what Pagano had done. But also, Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune mentioned safeties coach Sean Desai as an internal candidate for the position, a coach that Vic Fangio tried to bring with him to the Denver Broncos. The Bears blocked that move, and perhaps they see him as a potential rising star like Brandon Staley, as opposed to an older coach like Ted Monachino that's been around the block a few times. Desai, young and a bit inexperienced, but sometimes that can work in your favor as you're working up the NFL coaching ladder. So some good options in-house, some interesting names outside of the organization that we'll definitely get into on tomorrow's podcast and kind of identify, okay, who are the best candidates and what would each one bring to the table to perhaps improve this Bears defense and tweak it in different ways? There needs to be a lot of that tweaking and changing this offseason on both sides of the ball, and it appears Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to be the men in charge of doing that. We'll check in on exactly where the reporting stands without an official statement yet from the team next on Locked On Bears. You are unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you've started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live's tax experts can answer your specific questions, walk you through the process, review your return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you. The Chicago Bears have still not put out any official word that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy will be retained for 2021. And I guess technically, if they are under contract, then they don't have to technically announce that, yes, they will remain under contract because a contract would just continue. You don't have to announce that it will proceed as contracted. They would, of course, make an announcement if they were going to release them from contracts that they were already in. But it's kind of a strange silence that continues to linger out of Hallis Hall. And it gives me a little bit of pause to go too in-depth on saying, all right, they are for sure coming back. But the reporting has been, I guess, sort of corroborated from a few different sources saying more so that, you know, the rumor around the NFL is that the Bears will retain the two of them, that folks working around the NFL have heard that they are safe, which is different than what they had been hearing in the 24, 48 hours prior. So clearly something had changed in terms of the information circles all pointing to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy being retained. It's being treated as a foregone conclusion, although it is not official as of yet. And so I thought, given the perhaps unpopularity overall of that decision, I wanted to go through sort of what I had already gone through a little bit on the podcast I recorded and can't end up using, and that is trying to understand both the case for keeping Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and also the case against keeping them. And I think this will serve us in a couple of ways. One, we can kind of try and figure it out, okay, from George McCaskey and Ted Phillips' perspective, why does it appear they have decided to keep them? What are some of the reasons we can find to justify that? And then also we can look at it and say, all right, what are the reasons why this feels like a mistake and why the team should have released those two and moved on to essentially a brand new regime from top to bottom? Let's start with the reasons to fire them, the reasons to clean house, because I think a lot of Bears fans have the torches and pitchforks ready and want to see blame distributed, perhaps accountability is a better way to put that, and also change to try and lead this team to a better place. And obviously, you can point to back-to-back collapses these last two seasons, significant losing streaks or stretches of losses with very few wins in between, back-to-back 8-8 results when the team went all in on winning now the last two seasons after that 12-4 year in 2018. Like Matt Nagy's first year, 12-4 was not necessarily the plan. It was not expected. It was not necessarily even supposed to be realistic that early into the regime. But once they set the standard that high, the idea was to stay at or near that level. And 2019, clearly a disappointment. The team acknowledging it's a disappointment to go 8-8 and miss the playoffs that season. And again, they kind of double down and go all in on trying to win in 2020. And again, it's 8-8. Fortunate to fall backwards into the expanded playoffs that otherwise would have kept them out. And those collapses are pretty difficult to live with happening twice. Once, you can call it a fluke, an anomaly, an injury-filled season in 2019, and maybe you can blame COVID in 2020, but it feels like organizational failure in terms of accountability and having a process that works effectively from top to bottom, from leadership and just the identity of the organization and the team. Feels like something is certainly lacking there. And as you move ahead into the offseason with a major quarterback decision, Ryan Pace hasn't given you a lot of reason to trust his ability to evaluate, identify, and select quarterbacks properly. Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, none of whom have particularly worked out as long-term successful quarterback options for this team, plus his failures in picking in the first round of drafts, particularly early in his term as general manager. A few missed free agent signings in there, and this whole idea of him wanting to draft really well and not having to spend big money in free agency, it seems like he has continually had to spend big money in free agency because of some inability to draft. He's had some success in there as well, but some failures in there to the point where they have had to supplement the roster more so in free agency than he had stated his goal at the beginning. He hasn't been able to properly execute that team-building strategy that he laid out. Throw in there the idea of him wanting to draft a quarterback every season, and it feels like Ryan Pace hasn't been able to achieve the things that he wants to achieve that he has complete control over, and it's been 6 years. Matt Nagy has been part of half of that, and obviously the success early on earned him a lot of leeway and a lot of confidence in Chicago, but we've seen his offense struggle drastically, and he was brought here to be successful on offense. He was brought here to work with Mitch Trubisky, to make Mitch Trubisky successful, and perhaps Mitch Trubisky can't be made into a top-tier elite quarterback, but clearly the offense did not have the overall success it needed to. Nick Foles did not have the overall success they needed him to, and this team has felt at times unprepared, unorganized, sloppy, undisciplined, and struggling to find its identity 3 years into this process. And those back-to-back collapses seems to signal some sort of issue here that has not been properly addressed. I do think at this point, the organizational issues with this franchise go above Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. And I know Ted Phillips is the guy that gets the finger pointed to him quite a bit. And I think a lot of that is fair and valid and warranted. And we went kind of in-depth on the Ted Phillips situation a little bit earlier this season as the losing streak was getting worse and worse. But I don't think enough blame gets pointed at George McCaskey either. And he's not really a guy they can really fire because he's the one in charge of that. But he and Ted Phillips tend to be, you know, side by side in a lot of those spots. And as much criticism as Ted gets, it seems like George escapes a little bit more of that. And I don't know that that's necessarily fair to both of them. It makes you wonder how much value there is to getting rid of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy if those two will remain in charge of the leadership structure that has not been successful in Chicago in more than a decade. So maybe you might as well keep him one more year and see if you can get a better run at the head coach and GM hiring cycles next offseason. We'll try and put ourselves in George and Ted's shoes and lay out the case for why Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy should be kept. That's next on Locked On Bears. The Bears season is over, but that doesn't mean you can't get some Bears action at betonline.ag. Right now they have some fun prop bets for next team Deshaun Watson plays for if traded. Bears currently have the fourth best odds there at plus 550. Dolphins are the odds-on favorite, followed by the Patriots and Jets before you get to the Chicago Bears. Also included the Bears here, Mitch Trubisky special. Will Mitch Trubisky start game one next season for the Bears? Currently a overwhelming favorite for no at minus 450 on the money line, but yes is a plus 275. So it's not only Trubisky brought back, but then also start game one. There's a separate one for will Trubisky be with the Bears next season? Still, no is the favorite there at minus 250. Yes, plus 170. So much better odds that he'll be here than lower odds that he would start week one if he is even back next season. So if you want to get in on the action, get off the sidelines. Head on over to the number one place we trust. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's not pretend like Matt Nagy is the worst coach in the NFL or that Ryan Pace is the worst GM in the NFL. Like, I don't want to start going through and power ranking and figuring out, okay, exactly, Matt Nagy ranks 18th among my head coaches and Ryan Pace ranks 16th. You know, I don't want to get into that, but I wouldn't even necessarily think off the top of my head that I would immediately put either one in the bottom five. Maybe you could start making arguments in the bottom 10. I mean, again, I don't want to get into all that, but these are not terrible head coaches and general managers that we're talking about here. This is not a Mark Trestman level locker room is lost and absolutely does not belong as a head coach in the NFL. And this is not, I mean, there's not a great example of a recent Bears general manager that has failed that quickly in that. But I mean, you know, like a Michael McCaskey kind of thing when things kind of hit the fan, it's a different position. But you know what I mean? Like both of these, you know, this coach and general manager have done some very good things for this team and have had some success with this team. And that counts for something. I don't want to get too caught up in, like, you know, results versus process. Like, it's not simple enough to just say, well, Matt Nagy made the playoffs twice in 3 years, so therefore he deserves to keep his job. But there is something to be said about the way he held this team together twice during pretty significant moments of adversity in these large collapses that, yes, he deserves some blame for, but it could have gone worse than what he had. We've seen him make it work with Mitch Trubisky in a way that I don't think we were expecting. We've seen him have success with Trubisky in ways that I think were overachieving early on. And clearly, this is not a quarterback that can operate a full NFL offense in a way that the Bears would want to. And Matt Nagy has found some ways to make it work. He found some ways to make the running game work this season. He found some ways to get a little bit of an offensive identity going in a way that could give you some encouragement for the future and feel like, okay, you give him a chance to really pick a quarterback that, you know, a young quarterback of the future that he feels like he can develop. You know, it's a little different with Nick Foles, where it's an established veteran who kind of is what he is and isn't what he isn't at this point. And it's kind of, you know, in Nick Foles is Nick Foles. But to be able to give Matt Nagy perhaps more of a handpicked, drafted quarterback at some point this year, I mean, the Bears have limited options. It's a whole other discussion on who's actually going to be available for them. But there's some reason to still think Matt Nagy could do something with a quarterback not named Trubisky or Nick Foles, because he has had success with other quarterbacks in Kansas City and Philadelphia before that. When you have quarterbacks that are a little bit smarter and able to read defenses better and be more accurate, he had to adjust away from his system to fit Mitch Trubisky and didn't get to do a lot of what he really wanted to do offensively to show his stuff. It just seems like he has a pretty good grasp on the leadership part of the head coach position in terms of the guys in the locker room trusting him and respecting him. There's some other aspects of his head coaching tenure that are frustrating as opposed to him, you know, from an offensive standpoint, but actually like head coaching decisions that are valid criticisms as well. But he's not completely lost or out of his realm completely as a head coach. Like, you can envision some scenario where the Bears identify some quarterback that they can bring in to perhaps replace Mitch Trubisky and make it work. You know, you retool a couple of pieces here and there. You get a new defensive coordinator. You get the defense kind of back on track for its production level. And the Bears might be able to, you know, keep up with the contending, at least, under Matt Nagy in 2021. But, of course, adding the right pieces is going to be a key part of that. And Ryan Pace has had some success doing so. As much as he is blanket criticized for the failed first-round picks, and some second-round picks in there as well, he's had a lot of success identifying talent in areas and ways that most general managers struggle with. I mean, those late-round picks really do count for a lot. When you find guys like Adrian Amos in the fifth round, Darnell Mooney looking like a great fifth-round pick, fourth-round picks Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, you know, Nick Kwiatkowski turned out to be a starting-caliber linebacker, Bilal Nichols in the fifth round there. I mean, he has had success in these drafts where even when he misses on the early picks, he finds enough talent in the later picks that kind of ends up balancing it out a little bit. Like, if you switched some of the order of the picks and said those fourth-round guys who are your first-round picks, they've played like first-round picks. He's gotten first-round talents out of almost every draft. He just hasn't actually taken them with his first-round picks. And even in, like, free agency, he's found some under-the-radar guys that have come in and been great value for this franchise. Some on veteran minimum deals like HaHa Clinton Dix, Tashawn Gibson coming in and holding down the safety spot. Some different defensive linemen, you know, Nick Williams 2 years ago. Just this past year, Brent Urban, Mario Edwards playing at a high level. Jermaine Effetti seemed to work out well enough for the offensive line. Cairo Santos coming in off the street at kicker, all of a sudden kind of fixed that. Akeem Hicks, a great under-the-radar free agent signing that eventually got an extension and a much bigger deal for how well he had played, but did not have those expectations coming into Chicago. There have been some great hits there. And we tend to accentuate the misses without always applying that same filter to other teams and other general managers. Because if you take a look, say Bill Belichick, for example, the poster boy for success in team building, he has not done well in the NFL draft in the last, like, 5 or 6 years. He's missed on some early round draft picks. He's had some guys just not really pan out and some real questionable decisions that have hurt the Patriots. And he's been able to make up for it with some really shrewd free agent signings and, of course, excellent team building, and having Tom Brady for a long time masks so many of those deficiencies. But, like, even the best of the best, like Belichick, miss on a significant portion of draft picks. It's not something that is unique to Ryan Pace, and lends some credence to the idea that he is on par, at the very least, as a football talent evaluator. And, you know, the whole quarterback thing is definitely a legitimate concern, but it's also a very small sample size we're talking about. You know, three quarterbacks he's essentially picked. And that feels like that's a lot over a 6-year span, but compared to the number of linebackers, defensive linemen, offensive linemen, you know, players that kind of come through across multiple positions, three is not a very big number to fully judge his ability to evaluate talent. Because not to rehash the 2017 draft over again, we're not going to go all the way through this, but he was not the only general manager that had Mitch Trubisky as the number one quarterback in that draft. A lot of members of the media had Mitch Trubisky as the number one quarterback in that draft. Undeniably made the wrong pick and deserves all the criticism he receives for making the wrong pick there. But it's not as though he went out on a limb and did something wild and crazy that no one would have ever done in his shoes or other teams weren't interested in also doing there. So, like, it's not as though he is the one idiot who picked Trubisky. He's the one who ends up getting the blame for it, but other general managers were right there to also potentially take Mitch Trubisky ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And you just really don't have very many general managers in the NFL that consistently identify elite quarterback talent. If it was easy, everyone would do it. I mean, there's really only a handful of quarterbacks that are truly, like, elevate the level of play of players around them good, and everybody else is still looking for it. And Ryan Pace is kind of in that category of everybody else is still looking for it. And some of the teams that have successfully got those quarterbacks, you just kind of end up getting lucky sometimes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I think, is a good example of kind of the way that luck plays out for you. Or even, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, they didn't think he'd be this good when he took over in Kansas City. I mean, you know, there's a lot of luck and risk involved in that, and Ryan Pace has not had that luck and risk, and he deserves blame for the mistakes he has made at the quarterback positions. But it's not to say he's uniquely bad at that compared to the rest of the NFL. And same, I think, generally speaking, in the draft, he's much more closer to the middle of the pack than the bottom of the group. I think that's generally kind of true for Matt Nagy, too. And it's why you can see the Bears valuing that stability and saying, all right, you know what? These guys are not the best GM and head coach in the NFL, but we're already behind in the head coach and GM search. And as these candidates dry up, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find better GM and head coaching candidates if my guys are at least middle of the pack, okay caliber people. You're taking a big risk that you could go backwards moving away from these guys, and especially after a COVID season with revenues down and the whole business side of the league and potentially owing those people money and then having to pay a new coach and GM, you can see why ownership might be inclined to keep the two guys they have in charge, especially because they seem to have very strong personal relationships with them outside of the actual football evaluation. And that's kind of the other issue here, is that George McCaskey and Ted Phillips are trying to evaluate whether or not Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are the best people for their football team, and neither George nor Ted is really qualified to properly evaluate football team operations. And that's the bigger issue here that kind of supersedes everything else in this whole conversation that could ultimately be the thing that holds this franchise back. For now, we trudge forward with more Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy until further notice, and a defensive coordinator search to begin very soon. Like I said, on tomorrow's podcast, we'll take a little bit more of an in-depth look at the candidates, both the in-house ones we talked about and some potential coaches from outside of the organization that could be some nice options to either continue what the Bears were doing successfully or mix it up in some ways to find new success. So I hope you'll subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're your number one source for these daily Bears podcast updates, with a time of year bringing a lot of change, a lot more news to come in the coming days and weeks. I hope you'll follow along with us every step of the way, because I promise, even when the Bears aren't playing and it's the offseason and we all miss football, I'll still make sure you find a way to bear down.